about Mr. Leo, who is going to conduct your hearing. He's just doing a little paperwork, and he will be the lead for your hearing at this time, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, we're ready to go, sir. Okay, would you please state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Waylon Hendricks, 070541.
Thank you, sir. You have come for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your community supervision application. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Michael Johnson, the Honorable Bill Rittenhouse, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. And my name is David Bill, and I'll be the hearing lead. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Grady from the Department of Corrections, and also represents the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you're notified of the right to appear and speak on your behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself today.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Grady in. So you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Your hearing will be conducted in two phases, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the true allegations that are on your warrant, sir, and after each one, I'm going to ask you if it is true or false. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, allegation number one is violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about July 12, 2018, as directed by writing on July 11, 2018. You are actively avoiding supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
That's false, sir.
Okay. We're going to move through this. You'll have an opportunity to explain things as we go, okay?
Okay.
All right, so allegation number two is violation of Arizona Conditional Supervision number seven, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about June 29, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated July 12, 2018. That one true or false, sir?
Well, I didn't know about it. I had to tell the UA, so I'm going to say that's what they said. That would be the truth, because I didn't know that I had to tell the U.S., sir.
Okay. All right. So now, since you said allegation one is false, Mr. Grady is going to give us some more information about that allegation, okay?
Okay.
All right. Mr. Grady.
On May 14, 2018, during the face-to-face contact, the offender reassigned conditional supervision directed him to maintain contact with his supervising officer following all directives, either verbal or written. On 7-11-2018, parole officer Cream went to the offender's residence located at 2205 West Pecan Road, Phoenix, Arizona, 85041, made contact with the offender to address a missed urine sample on 6-29-2018. Contact was made with the sponsor, Christy Hendricks, who advised the offender was not home and was out looking for appointment. A non-compliance letter was left at the residence, at the offender's approved residence. The non-compliance letter directed the offender to report to the South Mountain Parole Office located at 801 South 16th Street, Suite 1, Phoenix, Arizona, 85034. On 7-12-2018, before 11 a.m., for a contact visit. On 7-12-2018, the offender failed to report as directed. As of 7-13-2018, the offender has not made any form of contact with the assigned parole officer, Cream, and knows no other collateral means to contact the offender. The offender is active in the board of supervision. Follow-up number one. On 7-12-2018, the parole officer Cream contacted Maricopa Medical Center and confirmed the offender was not admitted to their facility. On 7-12-2018, parole officer Green attempted to contact the offender's emergency contact by phone, Justice Committee back. On 7/13/2018, Court Officer Crane contacted MCSO and confirmed that Crane was not in their custody.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Hendricks, what is false about that?
I was told that I was only supposed to see Mr. Crane once every 90 days, and I was supposed to call him in the middle of the month between 15 and 20 of that month, the day of that month. I was never, every time I was told to go see him, I wouldn't stop him. I had three different parole officers that gave me three different agendas. So I was all kind of confused because the day I got released from prison, my original parole officer quit or something. So they passed me out to another one, and I was going to see him. I only saw him every 2 weeks for a month, and then I was put on to Crane. And Crane told me to come see him once every 90 days, but call him once a month in between the month. And I've done that. So when they issued the warrant, I was already going to call him about the 15th, would have felt like about that Monday. That's why I didn't understand the warrant. You know what I mean? I wasn't never told to come. I didn't miss no dates when they told me to come see them. Because I have my fiance there, and she's a witness that she took me down there, and I talked to them people every time I was told to go talk to them. The letter that was left at my mother's house, my mother was at dialysis. She sleeps a lot. So when she got the letter, by the time I got the letter and I called, they had already issued a warrant. And I told them I would come in Monday morning. So it wasn't no misunderstanding on the misunderstanding there was how he said that I was supposed to come jump down there once a month. It was once every 3 months. That was
okay, no, sir.
Yeah.
The once every month versus once every 3 months is not an issue with this warrant. The issue is that he came to find you and talk to you about missing a UA drop. So he went to your house, and because you weren't there, he left a letter, the non-compliance letter at the residence.
Okay, and that's what we said.
And that was, you know, he left the letter there for you to report the next day. You didn't report the next day or the day after, and he did what he was supposed to do, and that's part of what's in the conditions of release, is that you're supposed to be aware of those and obey them. And apparently, the way things came down, it was 3 or 4 days later before any contact was made.
No, I got the letter. I was supposed to contact with him on the 12th. I got the letter that night, 12th to 9th. So I called him the 13th in the morning. And I was told I had already had a warrant out for my arrest. And I explained to them that my mother must have sent the letter down to the side, and I didn't receive it till the 12th, that letter on that night. And when I received it, that's when I called him. But it wasn't, you know what I mean? It was a miscommunication on the part that I didn't receive the letter in time to go down there and make contact with him. And as far as the UA, I can admit I missed. I didn't know that I was supposed to go down there.
Let's move forward with this hearing, and then we can discuss a little bit more because I want to get some more information from Mr. Brady. So, at this time, based on the information from the Department of Corrections and Norton 2018W2015 for allegation number one, I'm going to rely on that information, and then allegation number two is the testimony of Mr. Hendricks and the fact that he says that was false. I'm going to move to find that Mr. Hendricks was delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and that he may have lapsed or about to lapse in criminal ways or company.
Second.
Great.
Agree. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Rittenhouse, and agreed by Dr. Bright and Mr. Johnson. Okay, Mr. Hendricks, we're going to move into phase two at this time. In a moment, before we actually get started on that part, Mr. Brady's going to give us some background information, so stay on the phone, I'll get right back with you. Mr. Brady, sir?
Mr. Hendricks was released from DOC on April 9th of 2018. He was arrested on July 15th of 2018 by Phoenix PD. He has no new charges. He returned back to DOC on July 15th of 2018. He has a CSED of March 12th of 2019 that reflects 3 abscond days. Current conviction, 2014, shoplifting, 2 years, 6 months. 2014, shoplifting, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1988, theft, 1 year. 1994, burglary, second degree, 5 years. 1994, theft, 2 years. 1995, escape, second degree, 1 year, 6 months. 1997, narcotic drug violation, 4 years. 2003, trafficking in stolen property, 6 years, 6 months. 2010, shoplifting, 5 years. He has 5 terms with DOC. He has CUIR scores of 2-3, mental health scores of 1, substance abuse scores of 3. He has no gang affiliation. Prior term of supervision, 1989, original release, completed, 5 months. 1994, released on home arrest, escaped for 5 days, arrested and revoked by BOC. 1996, provisional release, absconded for 65 days, arrested on new charges, revoked by BOC. 2000, TIS release, absconded for 16 days, arrested, revoked by BOC. 2008, TIS release, absconded for 4 days, arrested and revoked by BOC. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. Other arrests, 2009, DUI, liquor, drug, vapor combo, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. Community risk score is a G3-V4.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Hendricks, at this time, I'm going to go over a summary of your case supervision. So it seems that you were approved to reside in the 2205 West Pecan Road. That's your mother's house?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and that's where you stayed. So, did you have any employment?
I wasn't working at a company, but I worked for my family, and they let me have a little work till I was finding me employment. So, Hendricks Recycling is where I was doing like odd jobs, like cleaning up and stuff. But I was, while I was working there, that was just enough to give me bus fare back and forth to give me a job.
Okay.
So I have some kind of income to give me a job.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, you have something to kind of like repay the kindness to your family. That's always good when you can do things like that. Commendable when you were looking for work.
Yes, sir.
As far as your programming and task, it doesn't show any drug use.
I did a program, as you can see, when I got to DOC.
Uh-huh.
I did an NAMA class. I got the certificate right here. So I got back in DOC.
That's good. That's good. But it's a little troublesome, though, because it's showing four times that your color was called. Once in April, twice in May, and then the one that we're talking about in June. You had 3 times. Over that roughly 2 month period, you failed to drop any samples, and the one you did drop was 2 A's after a miss, which is great because it was negative, which would indicate that one was probably negative also. I can see where the one in June would be starting to be troublesome to the PO because it had 2 prior missed UAs and then you missed another one, and it is extremely important to do those when you're told. So why do you continually miss your UAs, sir?
Because my phone got stolen, went right along with my paperwork. All my paperwork and my phone got stolen. And when they were switching me around with parole officers, I got complacent with the fact that I lost my phone and I lost my paperwork. and due to the fact that they had switched me parole officers, I didn't actually know my color. And I was kind of like skeptical about asking them because I thought they would come down on me for being irresponsible about my paperwork and everything and my phone coming up missing. So I'm not making an excuse for that, but that's the reason why I missed the call to go to the UA. But if given a chance, I would tell you that the drugs ain't a problem. I don't have a problem with drugs anymore. Okay. You know, and I'm willing to tell you that I'm willing to go on house arrest, any means, because my mother is sickly and heavy. And man, I don't want her to pass while I'm in here.
Okay. But so did you ever replace the phone?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Okay.
I was in the process of getting replacing it, but I will.
It's like it was a 2 month period that these were missed in. So, and I don't know if you lost your phone, how much before that missed you. Okay, let's go back to the. To the abscond part of this, so basically what the allegation is that your PO went to your residence to talk to you about Mr. A's, and so we got this one in June, and I can see where it would be starting to be a problem for the PO in your home. So he left the letter for you to comply the next day and come on in. And you say you called him on the 13th?
Yeah, I called him.
The notes, it says as of 7/13, 2018, that you haven't made any form of contact. So hang on a minute, sir. Mr. Grady, is there anything in the Chronicle notes about when he actually called his PO?
Negative, there's nothing in the Chronicle notes about a phone call.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, according to the comments of your PO, and these aren't listed in the computer data, under the parole officer's name, they're listed under your name, and then the parole officer attaches his name to that. So any of the people you're assigned to would make notes in that same place, but there's no indication in the comments that you called, and what were you doing that Phoenix Police arrested you?
I was at a park, and somebody else got into an incident, and they just came up there, and I guess the police that recognized me or run pictures of people's faces, and he arrested me. I wasn't even involved in the incident. It was an incident with a white lady and a black girl.
What did he tell you that you were under arrest for?
For a violation of parole,
okay.
Just like
that. Well, that's not the incident. So he arrested you because of the incident. He came to the area because of the incident.
Right.
And he read the names and people out and they found warrants. So,
right.
If you had on the 15th, had you not gone to the parole office to see your parole officer, if you called him on the 13th,
right.
Then why didn't you go into the parole office? That was 2 days later, Phoenix arrested you.
Right, but listen what I'm going to say. When we talked to him on Friday, my lady, I was determined myself here on Monday. Okay? Sunday I got arrested. That was Sunday, not the 15th. I think the 13th was Friday, and the 15th came up Sunday or Monday. But in any event, I was going to turn myself in, but like I said, I was sitting at the park and an incident took place. I wasn't involved in the incident, but they ran people's names, and that's when my name came up as having a warrant. But the incident itself, I wasn't involved in it. And the reason I didn't go turn myself in because it was after closing time.
Okay, sir. I'm going to go ahead and see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. No questions on the board. So now I'm going to go to your supporters. Would either one or both of you like to speak this morning? Okay, would you come up to the podium, please?
Swear in. You need to swear in. She wants to speak. Should I let her go first?
Yeah, that's entirely up to you two.
Let her go first.
You can take that mic and pull it down. Set it on the table right there so that she can.
Just pull it down on the mic. It'd be fine. Just pull it there.
Okay, could you state your full name, ma'am?
Marie Hendricks.
Okay, I need to, now, are you gonna speak to him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need to swear both of you. And do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you swear to affirm?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
As I stated, my name is Marie Hendricks. I'm one of the Davis mothers. And he has been in and out, you know, prison for so many years. So I can understand one of the officers didn't want to wait for a couple of days to come out. But he gave me the letter and why wouldn't it come? So I went to bed. Then the next day is when I delivered the letter to him so that he could contact his probation officer. Well, about a little later in Friday, another probation officer came out. And that's when I informed him that they want him to come in and talk with them. With them. And he's going to go on that Monday, but they arrested him on Sunday, which didn't allow him to get a chance to go in on his own. But as it is, I'm on hospice. And if there's any kind of way that he can come home and be with him too,
okay.
I would greatly appreciate you all.
Let me ask you this, ma'am. You say you gave him the letter the day after you got it, right?
It was on Wednesday. Officer Karen? I guess I was his name, but he came out with another lady and he gave me a letter and he asked me when I was home. And I told him no, he was out looking for employment, which he really was out looking for employment. I wasn't just saying that and stating that to him. Right. I have no reason to lie, you know,
right,
for any reason. And on Monday, she took him down on Friday. Something happened on Friday. I don't remember exactly, but I know she said that they had tried to contact the officer and that he was going to go on Monday. And do, because I told him that the officer said he needed to go to do a UA. And he said, well, I'll go on Monday, and that's what happened. And the rest of it on Sunday.
Okay. Any questions for me? Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you all.
Okay.
And just state your name for.
Oh, Shannon Lewis.
Thank you.
Okay, I can attest to the order of things as far as how it happened. With him missing his UA, for one, he didn't know he didn't have a color. He didn't know what his color was. So the paperwork that he had, it stated that he had to go in every 3 months, but then call like around the 15th of the month to talk to his PO. Now, for the order of events, as far as what happened, the letter was delivered on the 11th. He was with me. I'm a cab driver. He was with me. And all day long, he was gone. Mama sleeps a lot. Like she said, she's on dialysis. She sleeps a lot. On the 12th was when he received the letter, the afternoon of the 12th, after the appointment time, because the letter stated that he was supposed to be there by 11 o'clock that morning. He did not get that letter until the afternoon of the 12th, because I had come early that morning and picked him up before Mama had gotten up. When he had, on the 11th, when he had got home, it was after she had went to bed. So there was no communication between the two of them in order for her to hand him that letter because of the fact that he got home late and he left early the next morning. Okay? Then, on the morning of the 12th, we both called because I had the phone on speaker to his probation officer. I have the numbers in my head. We called one probation officer, left a message, called another probation officer, the supervisor, and left a message on the phone. We received a call back. I don't know if it was from his supervisor or if it was from the probation office. And this was about, say, 12 o'clock, 12 or 1 o'clock, that we received a call back finally that afternoon, because we had kept trying that morning on the 13th. We kept trying that morning to get someone, and we finally got a call back about 1 or 2 o'clock that afternoon. And at that point was when he informed us, both of us, that there was a warrant issued for his arrest and that he needed to come in. And so Wayne said that he would come in first thing in the morning because it was late in the afternoon already, and he was afraid that he was going to arrest him on the spot if he went in to, you know, to talk to him. And so that was the reason why he didn't go in. But still, in the meantime, in between time, I actually went in myself. So there was contact made on the 13th in some form. I went in myself. And this was about 3:30 in the afternoon. And he told me that he had X amount of minutes, because I think it closed at 4 o'clock. He had X amount of minutes to get in there. And if he didn't get in there by that time, the warrant was still going to stand. And he could not guarantee that if he did come in, that he would not be arrested on the spot. Now, that was what I was told personally. So this is not hearsay. And so there was contact made on the 13th. While there's no record of it, I have no clue. I have no idea. And then he was arrested on the 15th. So that was how it conferred. That's how it went along. Every time that he was told that he needed to come in and talk to his probation officer, I was the one that took him down there to do so. So that's the gist of it.
Let me ask you this. His phone was missing.
His phone was stolen. We reported it stolen.
Okay, well, what was going to happen? It's missing, so he doesn't have...
No, he doesn't have a phone, but my number was readily available.
Okay, but so you had a phone that was readily available, but he couldn't call cash.
Oh, yes. But he didn't know he had a color.
Okay.
Wow. He didn't know his color, and...
That's one of the reasons that the POs are there and have messages and stuff like that, because we didn't know we had color. The terms and conditions are gone over real well when they're released.
And it was in his
if he had a question about it, he should have contacted his PO to verify it. And he was contacted about missing UAs before that one on the 29th.
Okay.
And he actually went and did a drop. But at that time, he would have been told about it. So the next time around, the one that was under discussion, the one that's on the warrant, was after he'd been told, and, at least once, that he missed the UA, he had no drop, and he dropped it, and it was explained to him at that time that he had a call every day to find out about it. And he didn't call it.
Well, he didn't convey that to me as far as him having to call it.
I'm talking about the parole office.
I understand.
And him, not, what's conveyed to you. If he didn't convey that to you, okay, that's not an excuse for him.
No. I'm not trying to make an excuse for him. And what could have happened if they had his mom's phone number?
Uh-huh.
Her phone is messed up, and this is no joke. Her phone is messed up. Half of the time when you call, it says that this mailbox has not been set up, or it says that it's just messed up.
Okay, what I was saying, man, is that he has availability of phones.
Mm-hmm.
It's his responsibility, and nobody else's, to make the call to task every day to make sure his color hadn't been called.
Okay.
So, but I thank you for that, and I don't want to get into a big, we're not arguing, but,
I understand.
We don't need to discuss a lot of the stuff that was already there. But, your mother got the letter, and he didn't get it until the next day. And
he didn't get it until the day of and the evening.
Right, but it was the next day after the letter was delivered. The letter came on the 11th. He
yes.
was supposed to report on the 12th, but he got it on the 12th.
He got it on the 12th.
Okay, and then the 13th was the discussion about if he doesn't get into the parole office by the end of the day, that the warrant's going to be...
No, the warrant had already been issued.
I know, but
the first thing that morning.
It would stand. If he didn't come in, it would definitely stand.
Well, he told me that he couldn't guarantee if it would stand or not, if he wouldn't be arrested on the spot.
Well, that's what I mean. He needs to come in. No guarantee he wouldn't be arrested at that time.
And what happens is if they come in and there's word like that, then they have a staffing with supervisors. And they make a determination whether to quash the warrant. Because they go to a great extent not to reincarcerate people. Like, you know, that's part of the reason for community supervision is trying to get the people out there, get them reintegrated. And the majority of the time in that early period of the warrant, if the person comes in, and they staff them and have a meeting and decide whether or not they can allow him some more slack or whether they're going to take him back into custody. So there's no guarantee at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't come in, it's guaranteed that the warrant's going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And like what happened to him is what happens once it's mm-hmm. out there like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a timeline on it and everything. And so is there anything else you'd like to say? You know?
No, other than, you know, he's a good guy. He's a good guy, he really is. And I'm not just saying that because he's my fiance, but he's a good guy with a good heart. And he's not, you know, we really don't at home.
We are doting over your fiance?
I'm sorry?
I said, you mean you're not doting over your
But, you know, we need him home, and she definitely needs him home because he was the one that would, you know, help with cooking her meals and getting her around. And, you know, and since he's been gone, I've been taking her to dialysis and bringing her home from dialysis. Between me and my future brother-in-law, you know, we've been doing this in Dial Ride. But he's the one that would get up and do her breakfast, do her meals, make sure she ate something, you know, in the whole nine yards and stuff. So other than that, either he was working a side job, he was with me, or he was at home. That was the extent of his day. It really was. So, so that's pretty much it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Neal.
State your name again, please.
Marie Hendricks. I'm one of the Hendricks mother. How that happened was the officer came out on Wednesday, and Friday is when I finally got a chance to give her the letter. And that's when she took him down there.
Okay.
But before then, he didn't even know that he had the letter.
Okay. I think we have the timeline well established.
I'm sorry.
I said I think we have the timeline well established. You know the days. She explained it pretty well, so we know what was going on each day. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right,
Mr. Lewis. I had a couple of questions for Ms. Lewis.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, sir.
What's up?
Thank you.
Ms. Lewis, I'm just trying to make sure I'm clear. So, did you make contact with the parole officer on the 13th?
We both talked to him. I called from my phone,
okay.
Obviously, and in the car, we were both in the car, and we both talked to him, because it was on speaker.
Okay.
And so we both talked to him, and then later on that afternoon, it was about 3:30-ish or somewhere in there, I went into the parole office myself.
Okay, that's what I want to do.
Yes.
Why didn't he go into the parole office with you on the 13th?
Because he was afraid that he was going to, after he had been told, I mean, being honest, after he had been told that there was a warrant issued for his arrest, he was just afraid that he was going to be arrested on the spot. And he hadn't had a chance to talk to his mom or anything. And he said he told him he would turn himself in first thing Monday. Now, he did tell him that he would turn himself first thing Monday morning.
And did he turn himself in Monday morning?
No, he was arrested Sunday.
At the park?
At the park.
I'm just trying to understand it in my mind, because I thought that he got the letter, was received one day, he got the letter the next day.
The next day, that afternoon,
the
time that he was supposed to come in was between, I believe it was 8 and 11, if I recollect right, that on the 12th, that he was supposed to come in between 8 and 11 on the 12th, and he did not physically get that letter, until the 12th, the evening of the 12th, because I had come to pick him up early that morning, and to go to work with me because he would ride with me. I had him to pick him up early that morning, and Mama was still asleep,
okay.
And she didn't see him the night before, so she didn't give it to him on the day of the 11th. And so she didn't see him until the evening when I brought him back of the 12 until that was when she saw him. And so that's when he received the letter. And it had already passed. So we started calling first thing on the 13th in the morning, and we didn't get a response until that afternoon, about 12, 1 o'clock that afternoon. So why, like I said, why there's no report that there was any contact made, there was contact made. I left messages on two different phone numbers.
Okay, so here's the question I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
On the day that this letter was delivered, he was out riding with you in the cab, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the following day that he was supposed to contact the PO, he was again out riding with you in the cab.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he was not looking for a job.
Oh, yes, we do that in the midst of the day. We do that in the midst of the day. Because going to different places, him filling out applications and following up and the whole nine yards, that's what we do. I mean, I drive a cab, so I can go anywhere I want to go and do what I need to do. As a matter of fact, I've gotten phone calls back from a couple of people because he was using my number as a contact number. So I've gotten phone calls back from a couple of people, and I also have some other leads on unemployment. And if you guys do decide to reinstate him, he should have a job within the next 2 weeks, barring processing time.
Okay, so here's my other question. Because what you stated is that one of the reasons that he needs to be out because his mother, Ms. Hendricks, is on hospice, and he's the one who usually cooks her meals and do all of these
mm-hmm.
different things
mm-hmm.
for her.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 2 days in a row when you say the entire day he was out riding with you.
He does it in the morning before he leaves. He fixes her breakfast and everything.
So what about the rest of the day that he's out?
When he comes back in the evening, then either we bring her something back or he cooks dinner.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to understand. I mean, I'm having a little bit of a hard time in my mind understanding the flow of everything that you're telling me that's occurring from the letter being delivered, the delay in the letter being delivered, but then at the same time, he needs to be home to help take care of his mother and
mm-hmm.
help her do these things, but yet for 2 days, he's out riding with you.
She sleeps in late.
Okay.
She sleeps in late. So she, you know, he fixes her breakfast in the morning and stuff for her, and she sleeps in late, so when she gets up, it's there for her, you know, to eat whatever time she gets up, which is usually about 10 or 11.
So who's there with her when she's there?
At that time, his sister was there.
Okay.
She's working now. At that time, his sister was
okay.
there during, you know, she would, there would be somebody there during the day. But she's working now, so she's no longer there during the day.
That was my question. I'm just trying to understand that flow of what he's needed to be there for, but he's
mm-hmm.
yet out riding with you, you know, during
mm-hmm.
the day,
mm-hmm.
and he lost his phone. So
his phone was stolen.
His phone was stolen,
mm-hmm.
And as a result of the phone being stolen, I would think that he would still know if he lost his phone and all his paperwork that he would maintain contact with his PO.
He did call his PO during the times that he was told that he needed to call, and he had the dates on, because I read the paperwork. He had dates on the paper where he needed to call. It was around the 15th of the month, and then the last month or 3 months later, he was supposed to appear in person. And it said nothing about a color, it said nothing about appearing for tasks, and he still did not know his color. And he did ask his PO after being switched around to different POs, because I know of two switches where he was with one and then he switched to another. And after that happened, he did ask him what was his color, and he said, we don't do that anymore, we don't have colors. You just call in and see, or we'll call you. They'll call him, or you call in and see if you have to go in for a UA. It wasn't done on a color basis anymore. It was from what he was told.
Okay, thank you.
Did I create confusion?
Well, you didn't confuse me, but you're making some statements that is not the normal protocol that we see coming from the parole officers and the things that they actually able to do. But I'm going to ask, if it's all right with Mr. Neal, I do want to go to Mr. Grady and just you hear what they're saying. What was his instructions for his report?
The reporting is usually always, if they haven't seen in 1 or 3 months, because it's a minimum, because the rest of the problem, then they can also resident and send a letter for him to report immediately. If he doesn't report immediately, then he will warrant. As far as the UAs are the old system. They're in transition from the old system to the new system. The old system was a color code. The new system, he has a call every day, and his UA is designed for him. So if he's not calling every day, he's not going to get his UA. Each day will tell you whether he has to report to somebody UA or not.
So is he instructed that of the new system that?
Yes, he's getting paper. He's getting paper for a number he has to call. And he has a code number he has to put in that identifies him.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And that's what he didn't understand. I can tell you that he didn't understand that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, Mr. Hendricks, is there anybody else in the boardroom that would like to speak on Mr. Hendricks' behalf? No? Okay. Mr. Hendricks, we're nearing the end of your hearing. I'd like to give you an opportunity before we go into discussion to give us a final statement if you would like. Any additional information? I will say that I think the board is clear on the timeline on the letter and the calls and all that. So is there anything else, any new information you'd like to give the board before we make a decision, sir?
Just to the fact that I didn't know nothing about, till he just said that, about a new system, about I'm calling and I got a code. I was never told none of that. You know what I mean? Like I said, I had 3 different parole officers. And I was being pushed around and rushed to the point where, you don't have to see me but once every 90 days, call once a month. That's all I was told from Mr. Queen. And I had received his card. So I was kind of shooting because I didn't have to go see him but once a month. But how did I go from seeing him once every 3 months to you telling me I don't miss you already and you haven't been, you've been trying to contact me. I thought I was the one to contact them once in the month, in the middle of the month. So that's where my confusion was at. And like my fiance said, I was willing to take the UA any time. And what it was with my mother, I cooked her breakfast and lunch at one time. And then when I come in the evening, she might be sleeping. That's enough food to hold her till the evening, and then I cook a dinner. Well, I'll be asleep sometimes. She'll get up and go to the microwave or go to the refrigerator because she, you know, her meals is already made. So, and like I said, I was helping her with her dialysis, with her medicine and stuff. So it wasn't me just right there like a nurse, but I'm the primary caregiver for my mother because my sister and my brother really don't have time. So that's how that falls. But I wasn't in no trouble. I was looking for work. Even when I got the hammer, I requested a UA. They didn't even give me one. So that's what I thought this was all about. Them trying to find out if I was on drugs or not. But I haven't been on drugs. And like I said, my technicalities are because of my misunderstanding. I'm not going to say they misunderstand. My misunderstanding. But if given a chance, like I said, I would go home on intense parole or however y'all want to monitor me, man. But for these last 6 months, but I'm willing to give it a shot, because I don't want to lose my mother in here, man. I lost my father. I know I'm a mess up. I've been messing up, but I didn't finally feel I grew up where I can be responsible, not just for myself, but for my love. My loved ones, the ones I got left. And I thank y'all, man. I appreciate you.
Mr. Staff, no more questions, sir, please.
Is it Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir. Mr. Hendricks, I'm just a little bit puzzled on something. Your phone was stolen.
Yes, sir.
And you have been incarcerated and out several times, and there's at least three or four different times where you were an absconder. As a result of being an absconder, you would know the importance of maintaining contact or some type of liaison with your parole officer. If your phone was stolen and you had no way of contacting or relating to your parole officer, why wouldn't you go in and contact your parole officer and let him know your phone was stolen? Because you know the importance of it because of your previous situations.
And you're right there, so, but like I said, I was told that I didn't have to contact them once a month now, and I had to go see them once every 90 days. I was hoping and praying I have some kind of employment enough where I can buy me another phone and never have to discuss that, because I was dealing with the parole board like I'm dealing with y'all, and I was kind of like shame about saying something got stolen from you, or I'm not on top of my P's and Q's, and that gives them a reason to say, well, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So it was more or less me being scared. That's the only word I can say, scared that they're going, maybe seem like I'm not taking care of my business.
Okay.
But it all fell in my face anyway.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Hendricks. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. But we want you to stand firm, just remain silent, and once we've made a decision, we'll get back with you, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, the board is now in discussion. Mr. Hendricks is an interesting young man, and this is one of those, it's interesting, it's perplexing, it's kind of hard to make up a total decision. I have to say that based on everything I've heard, I can understand where Mr. Hendricks might have had some confusion. We do often hear that offenders, when they know there's a warrant, they're afraid they're going to be arrested, which is, yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm really on the fence. Because there's only three of scan days, the way they're counted and where this whole thing was. Happened. I think I can overlook that, and I'm leaning toward the idea of a return to community supervision, but I'd like to hear discussion from my fellows with board members before we go any further. Any discussion? Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I think Mr. Hendricks has been on supervision before, and he knows that condition number 7, which he signed, I will not consume, alcohol, whatever. I will submit blood, urine, saliva, or breathalyzer samples when requested by any supervising officer. He knew he was going to have to submit urine samples, so why didn't he ask his parole officer how to do that? So I don't know. I hear him blaming everybody else for. I don't hear him accepting any responsibility. It's your job to stay on top of things, and I'm just not hearing that. I'm not hearing that at all.
Well, I would like to make one comment. The one time that he was told, by his parole, he didn't have, he did not.
And the way that's worded is, it is, if you don't have specific information about task or calling every day or anything else, it just is whatever requested. And if this PO says go take one, you did. I understand exactly what you're saying, but I also kind of understand the confusion on the other side. But yes, you're right, he's been out there on supervision before. I would think maintaining contact would have been a little bit more important, but I can also understand if he only has to call once a month. He's trying to replace the phone, he doesn't want to have to tell anybody he managed to get it stolen. But that's why I'm kind of on the fence on this. I'm still on the fence. Yeah, Mr. Donovan.
I'm slug. I think Mr. Hendricks knows the importance of contacting his PO and that he needed to contact his PO. I do believe he may have lost the phone. I don't know if he lost it or he didn't lose the phone. PO went by there, left a letter with the mother. The mother gave him the letter the next day. He was able to read the letter and know the importance of contacting the PO and going down there. Even on the 13th, when his fiance, Ms. Lewis, went down there to contact the PO, he could have went down there himself and contacted the PO that day and got this straightened out or taken a UA during that period of time. I would tell you that I am a little bit confused on this. There's no doubt in my mind that he knows the importance of contacting his PO. I am a little bit confused about the communication part of it and the time period that they actually had the communication with the PO of what they were actually doing. I just think that, you know, Mr. Hendricks kind of was avoiding the PO because he had told him, you know, you have a month to go contact. I think he just figured he could just take his time and do what he wanted to do. And that's not the situation that he had. I don't want to not question anybody's thing, but he delivered the letter to the mom the one day, the letter was delivered to him the next day. I'm having some confusion and understanding that he did not get that letter till the end of the day. After that time period had actually elapsed, if he gets up, he fixes breakfast for her in the morning, he fixes lunch for her in the morning, that he actually done it, that he usually comes up with a reasonable excuse as to why he did not do it. I'm going to tell you that I'm having some doubt about whether his story is fabricated or not fabricated on what he's actually been doing. I do believe him when he says he hasn't been doing any drugs. I do believe that he hasn't been doing any drugs. He did go take the UA on the 23rd, 2 days after he brought to provide a sample. So he did take one, but that was negative. I would tell you that I think Mr. Hendricks needs to get himself together, do what he's supposed to do, follow all of the instructions of what his PO is telling him to do. And some of these stories I think is a little bit fabricated. I do think that some of them are fabricated, but I don't think he was out doing drugs. I think he's been having a good time riding around in the cab with his fiance. They just ride around in the cab, maybe not looking for a job, but you know, 2 days in a row he was there. Then the next time he gets arrested, he's in the park, you know, having a good time. But he needs to be more serious if he's going to be out. But since saying all of that, I think there was some communication problems in there that I would not be opposed to Mr. Hendricks having another opportunity, because I don't think he was out drinking or doing drugs during that period of time. I don't think he was doing that. Because of that, you know, I would be willing to give him an opportunity to go back out there. And if he's still going to be just out there loose doing what he want to do, he's going to get picked back up and go back. He's going to go back. He has 6 months. Either he's going to comply in those 6 months. Matter of fact, he was on a minimum supervision. I would only be willing for him to be released back if he's going to help his mother, if he was being put on the monitor. If he's being put on the monitor, if he says that he's willing to be put on the monitor, to monitor his system. If he's willing to do that, then I would be supportive. He's not gonna, you know, other than that, then I would say no, but that's where I would be at on it. If he was released and put back on him and put on a monitor and not on minimum supervision, then, because he blew it as far as minimum supervision goes.
Thanks, sir.
Dr.
White, do you have any comments?
I think that Mr. Hendrick depended too much upon his mother and his fiancée. I think that's part of the problem. I just don't think that he took it serious. And I'm not sure that he's ready to take it serious. I mean, there he was riding around in a taxi cab during the day with his fiancée, instead of looking for employment. His fiancée said that if he's released back in 2 months, or 2 weeks, or whatever it is, he'll have employment. But he was out this time, he didn't have employment. I don't think he took it serious. I'm not convinced that he's going to be taking it serious or going to be putting back out there. That's just one report of those, based on all that I've heard today, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I do have a question for you, Dr. Wright. If we were to refer to community supervision, can we put that sticker on there that they would be electronic monitoring?
Yeah. Yes, sir, we can do that.
Okay, this is. I am going to make a motion to return Mr. Hendricks to community supervision for all the same conditions, but the added condition of electronic monitoring, the supervision level would be quite a bit I would say that we would go for, we recommend the full term of supervision, which is about what we normally do on a home arrest. Are there any other conditions that?
I would say at least, you know, because we have this problem with the UA, especially that the POs will start revocation process on first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA. That is going to be up to him. If he doesn't understand it and he misses it, then that's it. And that maybe on the monitoring for 90 days that the removal could be at give the parole officer some discretion, so I have to come back in.
Let the PO determine whether he's really living up to it. Okay, so the motion would be to return Mr. Hendricks to community supervision with all of the original conditions of release and the added condition that appeals to start revocation process upon first positive diluted list, unsuitable for testing or unexcused UA, and recommended for GPS monitoring for 90 days with removal at the discretion of the parole officer. And that would be my motion.
Second.
I disagree.
Disagree?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Well, sir, the vote was two in favor and two opposed to return community supervision. So by the rules of the board, that means that the motion failed. So your community supervision will be revoked. You will be engaged on or about March 12, 2019. Put together a plan so that you can, when you get out, you won't have any other problems. And if you don't commit any more crimes, you won't be returning to the Department of Corrections. And that's what we vote for, sir. We really don't want to see you back in here. So when you complete your term, you're going to have to behave yourself. It sounds like you're going to be busy taking care of your brother and probably have a job. So we do wish you the best of luck, and this will end your hearing, sir. Would you put the CO3 back on the phone, please?